If you take your Bibles this afternoon, turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25 is halfway through Genesis, and so we're making progress here as we continue our study here together in the book of Genesis. In our last study, we saw the death. And that's a little bit too much, I think. We saw the death of Abraham, and we talked to how he died in style. Some people like to live in style. Well, Abraham was a man who died in style. Then in verse 11 of chapter 25, it says that God blessed Abraham's son Isaac. But before we get into the life of Isaac, there's the genealogy here of Ishmael. And that's in verses 12 through 18. We won't read that genealogy here this afternoon, but the days or the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son. Verse 19 tells us that Abraham, Abraham and Isaac, and it says there that Isaac was 40 years, Verse 19 says, these are generations of Isaac, Abraham's son, and it gives us the genealogy there from Abraham and Isaac. And verse 20 tells us that Abraham was 40 years old, and he took Rebekah to be his wife, or to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. We're going to see how God will continue to fulfill His promise to Abraham by the birth of children to Isaac and Rebekah. And the annual number of births in the world today is roughly estimated, and this is probably a little bit low, but 95 million, or about 3 babies every second. And 3/5 of those births are in Asia, 1/5 in Europe, and 1/10 in Africa and the Americas. The average weight at the time of birth for boys is 7 4/5 pounds, and girls at about 7 2/5 pounds. We had a boy that was a little above average. He was only 11'3". Don't you feel sorry for my poor wife? Well, the average length at birth is 20 1/2 inches for boys and 20 inches for girls. The heaviest newborn child, you think my boy was heavy, in modern times was a boy born in Turkey. Now, this is back a few years, but in 1961, he weighed 24 pounds and 4 ounces. The lowest weight surviving newborn child was a baby born in England about 1938, and this little girl weighed 10 ounces. She was only 12 inches long. That's an amazing statistic. But someone has given a definition of a baby. A baby is a small member of the home that makes love stronger, days shorter, nights longer, the bank account smaller, clothes shabbier, the home happier, and the future worth living for. Someone has said that there are 6 great days in the life of an individual that lives a normal lifespan. The first day, first great day, would be the day that they were born. A second great day is when one is saved. The third great day is when one is married. The fourth great day is when their first child is born. The fifth great day is when the first grandchild is born. And the sixth and last great day is when they die. Well, here in our scripture text, we see Isaac and Rebekah had experienced the first 3 great days of their life. They were having difficulties experiencing the 4th great day, that is, giving birth to a child. Isaac wanted a baby, Rebekah wanted a baby, and they were crying out to the Lord to give them a child, a baby. And so from this particular story, we see a number of things here. First of all, we see a barren mother, a barren mother. We read in verse 21, it says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren." Now, as you look at that in the scripture, there are a number of women who were barren women. There was Sarah, there was Rachel, Hannah, Manoah's wife, and there was Elizabeth. But here in our text, we find we can add Rebecca's name to that list. Think with me for a moment about the problem of physical barrenness. The problem of physical barrenness. The word barren means sterile. For some physical reason, we're not told, but for some physical reason, Rebecca was unable to conceive. And we read there in verse 20, it says, "And Isaac was 40 years old, and he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel and of the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister of Laban the Syrian." He was 40 years old when they were married, so it's probable that she could have been in her late 20s, early 30s. But like every wife, she wanted to have a baby. She wanted to give her husband a child. But she was barren. And so there was the problem of physical barrenness. Now, I think our heart goes out to mothers who want children but are unable to do so. It's a natural thing for a woman to want to have a child. It's a sad thing when, for some physical reason, they're unable to do so. So there's the problem of physical barrenness. But think with me also of the picture of spiritual barrenness. The picture of spiritual barrenness. You know, often physical barrenness in the Bible is a picture of spiritual barrenness. As the bride of Christ, we are to be a faithful bride and also a fruitful bride. Our marriage to the Lord, Jesus, ought to be a relationship that's fruitful. Every one of us that are saved ought to have spiritual children. And I think we ought to have a desire to have spiritual children. Just like Rebecca and Isaac, they wanted to have a child. And so it is, even as Christians, as believers, we ought to want to have spiritual children. We read in Romans 7 and verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead." Why? "That ye may bring forth fruit." That ye may bring forth fruit unto God. Paul uses the analogy of marriage to describe our relationship with Christ. He also speaks of that relationship as one that should bring forth fruit unto God. I wonder, do you have any spiritual children? Or is your life spiritually unfruitful, unproductive? Is your spiritual life barren? In 1877, an evangelist by the name of A.G. Upham was leading a series of meetings in a church in New England. And one night in his sermon, he told the true story of a young man, a month after being saved, was seriously injured in an accident. And as the seriousness of his condition became evident, one of his Christian friends who was by his bedside asked him if he was afraid to die. He replied, "Friend, no, I am not afraid to die, for Jesus has saved me." He said, "But I have not been able to lead even one such as I to Christ in the time that I've known him." He said, "No, I'm not afraid to die, but oh, if I go, I must go empty-handed. The pastor of the church was a man by the name of C.C. Luther. And when Upham told the story, the heart of this pastor Luther was gripped. And right there in the services, he took a piece of paper and he jotted down the lines of a hymn that I think we're all familiar with, "Must I Go and Empty-Handed? Thus my dear Redeemer meet, not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go?" You see, there's a problem with spiritual barrenness as well. And we're concerned about a mother who wants to have a baby, but is physically unable to. But what about Christians who are spiritually barren? There are Christians that are barren. There are churches that are barren. And if you can imagine how Rebecca, as a barren mother, must have felt, think of how God must feel when His children are barren. We are found to find others. We are told to tell others. We are won to win others. We are saved to save others. We are to be fruitful. And so there's a barren mother. Secondly, I want you to notice a burdened mother. Again, notice here in verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. It's obvious that Isaac does not want to be fatherless. Rebekah does not want to be motherless. Without specifically stating so, it's clear that before us is a burdened mother. Spiritual barrenness ought to create a spiritual burden. And if we are spiritually barren, what should we do? Well, first of all, we must be aspiring for a child. We must be aspiring for a child. You know, we think of our young people and we sometimes ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to aspire to be? Well, what do we want in our Christian lives? What are we looking for? What do we desire? What is our heart's desire as a believer, as a Christian? We ought to aspire for a child. It's obvious and it's evident that there's a deep longing in the heart of Rebecca here for a child. And the question before us, do you and I want spiritual children? Do we want to bear fruit in our lives? Someone said, oh, for a heart that is burdened, infused with a passion to pray. Oh, for a stirring within me. Oh, for this power every day. Oh, for a heart like my Savior, who being in agony prayed, such caring for others, Lord, give me, on my heart let burdens be laid. It went on to say, my Father, I long for this passion to pour myself out for the lost, to lay down my life to save others, to pray, whatever the cost. Lord, teach me, oh, teach me this secret. I'm hungry, this lesson to learn, this passionate passion for others. For this blessed Jesus I yearn. Father, this lesson I long for from Thee. Oh, let Thy Spirit reveal it to me. I think there may be many Christians today who've never spoken to another person about being saved. There may be some like that here to this afternoon. You've never said anything to anyone about salvation. And I think it's not just a case of not caring, but it's a lack of desire to have spiritual children. We ought to be aspiring for a child. Secondly, we ought to be agonizing for a child. I think it's very obvious here to me as I read this again that Isaac and Rebekah wanted a child. And without it being said, there was great distress. There was agony on their part because she was barren. When you read about barren women in the Bible, on most occasions we find them agonizing for a child. A little later on in chapter 30, verse 1, we'll read about Rachel. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. I think of Hannah in 1 Samuel. Year after year, she would go up to the temple and she would pour her heart out to God for a child. We read in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore." I realize that many of these Jewish women, they wanted a child and they wanted a male because they thought maybe he would be the Messiah. But I don't think it's much different for us to desire a child, a spiritual child, someone that would be saved and used of God to bring others to Christ as well. Someone has written, "Oh, for a passion for souls, for a pity that yearns, for a love that is stronger than death, for a fire that burns." The wife of John Knox awoke one night to find that her husband was not in bed. She found him in another room on the floor, weeping his heart out unto God. She asked him to come back to bed, and he replied, "How can I sleep when souls of Scotland know not the Lord?" I read about a father, young father-to-be. He was pacing back and forth, wringing his hands in the hospital corridor while his wife was in labor, and he was just tied up in knots. Knots of fear and anxiety, beads of perspiration dropping from his brow revealed the agony and the suffering. Finally, at 4 a.m., a nurse popped out of the door and said, "Well, sir, you have a little girl." He dropped his hands, became limp, and said, "Oh, thank God it's a girl. She'll never have to go through the awful agony I've been brought through." Well, he was young, okay? I know that the ladies here in our church who've borne children, that's not an easy thing to do. We men have an easy part. There will be some agonizing, though, if there are going to be children. Thirdly, let me say we must not only be aspiring for a child and agonizing for a child, but we must be asking. We must be asking for a child. Again, here it says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Now that word entreated simply means he prayed or he interceded in her behalf. He prayed that God would touch her womb. He asked God to let her have children, and we need to pray for children. How many times do we leave our prayer time and we haven't asked God to show us someone we can be a blessing to with the gospel and perhaps lead them to the Lord? We need to pray for it. We need to ask God to heal our barrenness. We need to ask God to make us fruitful. Again, I think of Hannah. Eli found her on her face. He saw her lips moving but heard no voice. He thought she was drunk. Hannah said to him in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful heart or spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." She was asking for a child. She was entreating the Lord for a child. She was praying for a child. And we should and must pray for God to heal our barrenness and to give us children. A London newspaper carried an ad that read, "Father of three sons desires a daughter. Can anyone send suggestions?" There were more than 1,000 replies, including one from an American who said, "Keep trying." Well, we should never quit praying. Are we barren? Well, you know, I've prayed for years and I haven't seen anybody saved. I've prayed and prayed and prayed and nobody got saved. So I'll just quit. No, we must never quit praying for children. But last of all here, we've seen a barren mother, a burdened mother. Notice a blessed mother, a blessed mother. You know, when people get down to business with God and they do what God would have them to do about praying and asking Him for children, things happen. You notice the rest of the story here. We find here, first of all, that God heard his prayer. God heard Isaac's prayer. Verse 21 says, not only did Isaac entreat the Lord, but the Lord was entreated of him. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. It's the same word, only it's used in reprecation here. Simply said, the Lord heard him. And when we aspire for spiritual fruit and we agonize for spiritual fruit and ask God for spiritual fruit, God will hear. James Alexander Stewart, in his book Invasion of Wales by the Spirit, wrote, deep spiritual awakenings, whether in local churches or in whole countries, begin with desperate people like Hannah. God only answers prayers of desperate Christians. God heard his prayer. And then we also see that God healed her problem. You notice the last statement there in verse 21, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. I can imagine she came running out one day of the tent, yelling, Isaac, Isaac, it's blue, it's blue. Isaac asked, what's blue? My home pregnancy test, she said. Now, she didn't have that. You know, something like that translated back to those days, maybe, huh? You know, as a Christian, would you not like to have the blessing of having a baby? That is a spiritual baby. Do you long for it? Do you agonize for it? Do you ask for it? As a church, would you not like to have the blessing of seeing little babies born? Now, we always rejoice when someone has a baby, but what about a spiritual baby? A person who's come to know Christ as their Savior. If God's people will aspire for a child, will agonize for a child, and will ask for a child, I believe God will certainly give us children as He pleases. Now, let me just close this particular aspect of the message here from Genesis and just turn to a New Testament passage, and I believe it relates to what we're talking about here. Turn with me to Mark. And again, we can use this in a sense as a commentary on what we've been seeing here in Genesis. But Mark chapter 7 and verse 31. Now, we could spend a long time, we could spend another hour or so just talking about this, and I know you'd rather go home and get your nap and so forth. Some of you have already gotten that started, but before you finish it up, you know, let me give you an abbreviated version, I guess you could say, of this account of someone who has a burden, someone who has a passion to bring people to Jesus. We talked about this briefly this morning in our morning message, that the demon-possessed man was brought to Jesus. Again, we're making a spiritual application to mainly a physical event, even though the spiritual implications are very obvious. But here in Mark chapter 7, we see the physical healing that is a result of people who cared about someone else. In verse 32, it says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf. Okay, they brought. They brought. I want you to notice that. They brought someone to Jesus. Now, I don't know who the they are. I'm not sure who they is here. I put they equals a question mark. But I do know this about the they. No doubt it was someone who cared enough to bring this man to Jesus. I wonder, do we care enough about someone to bring them to Jesus? Oh, that's for the pastor. That's for the Sunday school teachers to do that. That's for the missionaries to bring people to Jesus. No, that's for everyone that's saved. That's why we're saved, is to bring others to Jesus. Each one of us has this responsibility to bring people to Jesus. And they brought unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And notice the second thing, they beseech him. They brought, then they besought. They beseech Jesus to heal the man. They cared enough to come to the Lord with his man's needs. And I wonder again, do we care enough about someone to bring them before the Lord, even in prayer? You know, they beseeched him. It's again that same type of thinking of how Isaac entreated the Lord. They beseeched Jesus to heal the man. Now, the thing is, they were talking directly to Jesus there. We can talk directly to Jesus, although we can't see him. But we can beseech on the behalf of others that they might be healed spiritually. You and I cannot save anyone. We cannot force anyone to be saved. It has to be the work of the Spirit of God in their life. And then notice in verse 34, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Notice there, he touched this man. As Jesus touched this man. And I believe here's where Jesus takes over. They brought, they prayed or besought, and then Jesus touched. This is where Jesus takes over. Are you looking to heaven? Or are you, I'm getting ahead of myself. They brought and they prayed, now the Lord does the work. And it says there in verse 34, he looked, looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. He looked, it says he looked to heaven. Are you looking to heaven for the answers to your needs? Again, it's easy to look to someone else, to look to someplace else. It's easy to look to something else to meet our needs. But even Jesus, an example here, he looks to heaven. He doesn't look around to others. He looks to heaven. We need to follow the example of the Lord and look to heaven. And then he sighed, it says there in verse 34. Now, when we see that word sighed, we think, oh, well, if I have to. You know, that's the way we sigh. It's time to go to church. Oh, well, if I have to. It's time to talk to somebody about Jesus. Oh, well, if I have to, I'll do it. That's not the idea here at all. That's not the sigh that we see here. This, again, is in the form of a prayer. The power to see someone saved isn't how clever we can be or how we can convince people with an argument or a debate, but it's the power of God to open a man and a woman's eyes to see their need of a Savior and come to him for healing. And then it says in verse 35, straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. In other words, he was healed. Jesus healed him. He healed. Again, it's God who heals. It's God that saves. But it started with someone who cared enough to bring someone to Jesus and prayed that they might be healed. I wonder, are you barren this afternoon? Are you fruitless? Do you want spiritual children? Do you want to bear fruit for the Lord? Do you desire to be blessed of God and see people coming to Jesus? Well, then let's bring people to Jesus. Let's pray that God will save them. And I challenge you that each morning you wake up and you roll out of your beds. You may spend a time praying for the day, and don't just pray, Lord, help me do this or help me do that. But ask God to give you a child. Help God to heal your barrenness spiritually. Ask from the Lord, and I believe He will answer. He desires to see people. They brought, they besought, He touched, He looked, He sighed, and then He healed. I think that's the same thing that will happen here at Spooner Baptist Church. When we bring and we pray that God will take over and He's going to touch some people's lives and He's going to heal them. And I trust that we'll be praying, be thinking in that way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the lessons here from not only the book of Genesis, but the New Testament, and the wonderful lessons that we have, the challenge that we have to our hearts this afternoon, that each one of us here has a desire to see children come into this world, not just the physical children. We rejoice when someone has a baby and there's great rejoicing. We rejoice when there's a grandchild. Lord, we need some spiritual children. We need some to see some people saved. And we know there are people in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our community here that need the Lord. Lord, help us to bring them. And we pray for your healing in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.